I felt led to preach this, because I think we all need it. But before I begin my message, I would like to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin or the sin offering lieth at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that as they were in the field, Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, wherefore whosoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you will give us something from it. Lord, may it be a blessing to us. We thank you that every time we read the precious scriptures, they teach us something. And may it be so this morning. And again, we pray for those who are not well, that you will be with them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to talk to you on the subject of rebellion. That's not a very nice word, but sometimes we think it is or know it is. After all, tomorrow we're going to celebrate a rebellion. Yes, this country was liberated from Great Britain thanks to one man and his loyal troop. We're very proud of that. Well, that's not the way I'm going to use this word this morning, because the Bible uses it in another way. And I'm going to add as well that God has made it possible for those who come under the condemnation of rebellion to be helped. Or, more specifically, to be saved. Yes. Well, you say, what precipitated this thought in your mind? Well, first of all, we have a Lutheran playground just behind us. And for years, you know, I've worked with boys and girls, so I know what to expect from them. And I watch these boys and girls, and sometimes they worry me because they're not doing what they should. And it occurred to me once, what would you do if one of those children injured himself? Well, I don't think I'd have to worry, because there's always someone on duty. In other words, then, I was thinking of the worst, not the best. They were having a good time. You can hear them right around the block if you like, because children love to make noise. And let's not stop them, because they will not be children for very long. Well, that's it. They never disturb me, and I'm not too worried about it. But, you know, another illustration came to my mind. You know, in these bodies of ours, and this is quite serious, we occasionally are afflicted by cancer. Well, what are cancer cells anyway? Well, they're rebellious cells. Yes. The word can be used quite specifically and accurately. There they are, and they're growing, and they're producing something inside of us until the host is destroyed. Well, that's not very pleasant. But occasionally, people are afflicted that way, and we feel sorry for them. They're rebellious, yes. Well, let me give you a little story which bears in part on this. I've been invited to many a wedding. I've only performed one in my lifetime. But usually, I enjoy myself by eating all the good things which have been prepared. And it doesn't do me any good because I'm heavy enough as it is, but I always enjoy it. I've never yet been to a wedding that's gone wrong. No. Everything seems to be worked out, and there's plenty of food, and you're free to indulge yourself, and especially, I think, the men. Well, I don't know, but I have been to birthday parties as well, and one of them went wrong. Well, you say, what happened? Did somebody spill the soup or something? No. We were talking around, and then we were invited to sit down. And there were all these nice things. And I can still see that table with this lovely cake, because it was a birthday party, and so many nice things. And the hostess noticed that there was one chair which was not occupied. So she called the boy of the family, one of them, and to come, take his seat. Well, all of us heard, quite mistakenly, the words, "I won't." Yes, well, of course, you know what birthday parties are. You don't like that sort of thing. So the dear mother The hostess got up and tried to remonstrate. It didn't do any good. And so Father left the table and finished up whatever disciplinary thought he had on the subject. Well, we, of course, knew that we should occupy and carry on, and so we did. Yes, everything was passed around, and the cake, and everything else. But there was one empty chair, and that spoiled it. That spoiled it, because he should have been there. Yes, well, you say he's only a child. An hour or two after that, he would have gotten over it. I'm sure he did. But there you have the case before you. It was a birthday party which went wrong. Why? Because of one, and I may use that word, rebellious child. Well, we don't often have things like that. And I can qualify that word rebellious by saying that he is at present a very worthwhile young man who probably doesn't even remember the incident as well as I do. So that's fine. Well, there you have this word rebellion. I won't. Well, the scriptures tell us that according to God's word, rebellion is in the heart of all of us. Well, we don't act like that. No, we don't act like that. The other day down at the bank, I held the door open for a nice lady, and she refused to accept my offer. That is, she wanted to do the door herself. Well, I thought to myself, dear lady, what you need is another lady who could straighten you out. She was a woman's libber, and I have thoughts on that subject, not serious ones, but there it was. Well, I didn't like that because I had offered my services as a courteous measure, which we've been taught to do. Well, now when we go to the scriptures, we find this unpleasant story, which I have read to you. Yes, here's a man, Cain, whose offering has been refused. Well, let's look at that offering. He was very proud of it. I'm sure he was. I love to garden, and I like to take things from my garden, and that's what he did. And he brought them to God. And God did not accept them. Well, who's in the wrong? Well, I believe that he had already been taught that what God wanted was an offering. Because in the ages which were to follow, offerings were accepted if one committed a sin, known or unknown. And the Word of God made it very clear that that offering had to be offered for that particular sin. Well, Cain wouldn't have it. And so, he killed his brother. Well, we don't like that. Abel seems to us a very friendly person, kept sheep. And who did what he was asked to do, to present an offering to God. And God accepted it. Well, now there are three things about Cain that I'd like you to notice. And the first of these is, he did not exactly say it, but in action he meant it, I will not. I will not. Well, those are the same words nearly as we heard before. And those are very serious words because he was speaking to God. Next, we find about him that he was very self-righteous. He did not believe that God had given him the right punishment. It was too severe. Well, who was Cain to suggest that? He had already killed a man, and that was a very serious thing. And yet he says to God, your punishment of me is too severe. And then there's a third thing. Cain said, I am not staying here. He went out from the presence of God. Now, those three things are very serious. But let me tell you something else which has bothered me. During the last few months, I've noticed very serious things from my relatives and also from the press. Could not God have stopped this? In other words, the person is blaming God. Yes, the other night there was something on this terrible Holocaust that took place in Germany toward the end of the last war, when all of these Jews died. If there was any reason at all for punishment, surely they didn't deserve that. Well, the one who was the commentator said, where was God? Why didn't he stop it? That's what he meant. But why should he? He has placed this world in the hands of men, and he has given them instructions from his word. And if there was ever any other country besides Germany that had more of religion, I don't know what it was. Because from Luther on, you have a good many theologians. Well, there it was. They took the lives of 6 million Jews. Could God not have stopped it? Yes. He could have stopped it. Yes, but he didn't. Why? Well, that's a Bible reading on its own, and I'm not sure that I could convince you. But there it is. We have this 4th of July before us tomorrow, and we'll all enjoy ourselves. But a lot of earnest, friendly men, and I like soldiers, I often talk to them when I can or used to. They're usually a very friendly group of people. Well, there they are. And they were back there in 1775. But a lot of them lost their lives because of two or three very stubborn people in Britain. Couldn't we have changed that? No. Could they have? Yes. But they didn't want to. They had reasons of their own. And one of them eventually lost his life by ordinary means. Yes. Well, let me give you another illustration. There's another man in the scripture, and his name was Saul. And he decided to work on his own. He was the king. There was no doubt about that. He'd been anointed. But he decided to be the priest as well. And he was very seriously rebuked. And Samuel the prophet gave him these words: to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I haven't many more minutes, but I'd just like to say that I have had a great deal very first-hand information about witchcraft. and is one of the most diabolic and destructive things that I have ever seen. I went into a village and I saw some fetuses, and I said to the owner, what are these? Oh, he said, they're just something to do with our foolishness. Yes, he was quite right. It was foolish. Was very foolish. But there it was. And you know, we don't know much about it as missionaries, because if the Africans want to, they can hide a good deal. But what about this poor old lady who was taken to the hospital? She wasn't very well. And she got better, so she was looking forward to her relatives coming and taking her home to her village. Well, what's wrong about that? Excuse me, there isn't anything wrong. But she never got back to the village. Yes? The relatives came, and they took her part way and then killed her. Yes. But they didn't want her. They looked upon her as a witch. Well, all of you have had experience with old grannies and so on. You wouldn't dream of calling them a witch. Well, in Africa they do, and they used to burn them. This poor old lady got off easy. And the dentist out there, Dr. Duber, was telling me a first-hand experience. What is it? Well, they had an old lady, and the details are very much the same. Some people brought her in thinking that she would die at the hospital. But under the good care which the missionaries gave her, she got better. And then they came and took her home. But once again, she never arrived. And as far as Dr. Gruber knows, she was just buried alive. Yes. You're in the way. You're a witch. Well, we say we don't understand. We don't have anything like this in America. No, we had Salem witchcrafts, and I'm not going into that, and that sort of thing, but there it is. Is that the end of it? No. Whenever a new chief in our area is installed, some child has to die because they need some bone from the neck of that child to put in the bracelet of the chief. What child is going to be? People don't know until they miss the mother and misses some child. And then she has to keep still. Keep still. Yes, because we don't want you to talk. All right. Well, you say these things go on today. Yes, they do. Have they gone on far worse in the past? When Arnett spoke to the chief of the Baratzes, some of his best soldiers were being put to death by witchcraft. So Arnett suggested that the accuser be tried as well. That's what we do in this country. If I bring a case against anyone, I have to stand up and say what I know about it. Yes, that's our law. We're thankful for it. In those days, they just destroyed people at a whim. Well, that is what we have in the Word of God. Well, now who? What is witchcraft anyway? It's a Satan-inspired person. Does it work? Yes, it does work. Yes, as people think it does anyway, but there it is. Well, now, Samuel said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, is as handing over things to Satan, and that's what's going wrong in this world today. All of those things will become much more serious in the future than they are now. Are there no ameliorating circumstances? Yes. There was a king of Israel, and his name, we all know, it was a man who inherited his kingdom from a good man. And his name was Manasseh. And he was looked upon as one of the wickedest men that ever lived. And according to tradition, he had Isaiah the prophet put into an empty log and sawn in two. Well, he brought in all kinds of idols from other places. Did God strike him dead? No. Because Manasseh turned to the Lord. And with that terrible record behind him, a record of murder, because he filled Jerusalem with blood, God forgave him. You see, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, no matter how sinful he is, God will forgive him. Is that true? Would that have been true of Hitler? I think so. Yes, I don't like to say it would, but that's what I read from the Word of God. In other words, rebellion plus God's forgiveness, repentance, means that there is no rebellion. God is merciful and God is willing to accept that person on the basis of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that wonderful sacrifice goes all the way back to the time of Abel. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ died that all of us might live. Well, I realize that I have spoken to people who are far from rebellious, but the warning is there just the same. In this world of ours, there's plenty of rebellion against all of those things which we consider good. It bothers me quite a lot. It bothers me when my relatives say, couldn't God have change this thing, because they are blaming who? God. Yes. Well, I'm not blaming God, and I thank him for that wonderful sacrifice and for this wonderful hope he has given to me of one day going to be with him. May it be so with all of you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us such a wonderful Savior, that even as we think about this word, it doesn't exist because you are willing to forgive all those who come to you. Lord, may we all be found following you, believing that you died for our sins, and that you rose from the dead, and that you are now in heaven interceding for us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, may these thoughts cheer us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Shall we just pray again? Our Father, we thank you for this reminder. And we thank you for this country and its lack of rain. We cannot bring the rain, but you can if it's your will. Lord, bring rain if it is your will. And help us to learn the lessons from Scripture that when you withheld rain, you were unhappy with us. We pray for those dear farmers and others who are facing this problem. Lord, we ask not only that you will bring the rain, but that you will help them in all the problems which arise out of this drought. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.